Thank you for giving me this opportunity to associate with all our God sisters and God brothers on this evening. Thank you very much. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamin Iti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Krupapadayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Radha Damodhar Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Gauri Thai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Padit Pavan Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. So first of all, I would like to pay my humble obeisances to all the devotees present there for this class today. Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Thank you very much. My voice is clear. I'm audible. Okay, perfect. So we're going to speak today from a Guru Vashtakam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.29, the conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayogendras, when Maharaj sees the Navayogendras, he says one very beautiful sloka. On seeing those Vaishnavas, he says that Durlabha Manava Janma Dehinam Iha Dehishu Tatrabi Durlabha Manye Vaikuntha Priyadarshanam. He says that it is very difficult to get a human birth, very durlab. We've been moving around this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease, and we've been moving in from different species. Very difficult to get one human birth. But he said, more difficult than that is in a human birth, the rarest is that when you get an association of a pure devotee. When I was reading this sloka, I was thinking that what Agyata Sukruti did we accumulate? What Punya Karma we have done? I don't know, all of us. To get a pure devotee like His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami Guru Maharaj into our lives, not only are we able to, Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam is seeing them, not only seeing Him, we are under His shelter, He is our spiritual father. We are able to render service to Him, either Vapu, Vani, and take His divine blessings, and His hands are always on our head. So how fortunate we are. Don't know what karma we have accumulated, or maybe none. It is just maybe His causeless mercy that He has given us shelter at His lotus feet. So today, we'll try to glorify our very dear beloved Guru Maharaj with the Guru Vashtakam prayers composed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And as we read along and sing along, we will see, yeah, it's like all the qualities of a spiritual master mentioned there, we can so clearly see in our dear Guru Maharaj. So as the poster advertised, like father, like son, so we will talk about how we see that quality in Srila Prabhupada, and then we see ditto quality in Guru Maharaj. Just like in the material world, you know, when you see somebody's son or daughter, you say, hey, he looks just like his father, same nose, same eyes. So similarly, we see in the spiritual life also, you know, like Guru Maharaj is just like his spiritual father. It's the same kind of qualities, the same kind of kripa, daya, and so many other beautiful qualities he has. So we will all sing along. Maybe somebody can share the screen. So we will sing the first sloka and then discuss and then go to second sloka, and this is how we'll go about it. So please sing along. Samsaradava nalalidha loka tranayaka runya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunanavasya Vande Guru Shri Charanara Vrindam. So here in the first stanza, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the spiritual master is like a cloud of mercy And he draws it from Lord Shri Krishna. This whole samsara is like a davanala, like a forest fire. So he compares this whole material world to a forest fire. Just like in the forest fire, you don't know what started the forest fire. It just starts. We don't know the cause. Similarly, in this material world, we don't know how did we end up coming here. Some anadi karma, some purva karma we must have done that we have ended up here. But the whole point is, how do we come out? So just like the forest fire, the only way to stop the forest fire is when it rains. Otherwise, there is no other option. Just like we are all suffering in this material world, which is like forest fire. If we do a little punya karma here and there, it's not going to help. It is something like taking a bucket of water and trying to extinguish the forest fire. It's not going to work out. The intervention of clouds is required. Similarly, in our spiritual journey, we are all suffering in this material world, and the intervention of cloud like guru is required. So what does the guru do? He's a cloud. See, Krishna is like, we're always singing, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. So he's Sindhu, ocean of mercy. But ocean is not accessible to everybody. So just like the process of evaporation happens, and then the ocean water, because of the help of the sun, becomes a cloud. And then the clouds start distributing that water without any discrimination to everybody. So similarly, Radharani is the sun. And Krishna is the water body, the ocean of mercy. And by the permission of Radharani, the mercy of Krishna gets agitated. And then Guru, who is a cloud, carries the mercy of Krishna in his heart. And then without any discrimination, he starts distributing that mercy freely to everybody. That's why we see the Bhaktivinod Thakur in his bhajan, he says, you know, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tumar sakati ache. Amito kangala, Krishna Krishna bole, daitava pache pache. Oh Vaishnav Thakur, Krishna is yours, Krishna se tomar. Because Krishna belongs to you, you can give Krishna to everybody. So Krishna belongs to the spiritual master, and then they can freely give Krishna to everybody. And they are like clouds without discrimination, just like a cloud does not discriminate between anybody. You know, the rain falls everywhere. The karuna and the mercy of Krishna via Guru falls everywhere to everybody. Now we see how in Srila Prabhupada's life also, so very merciful. You know, he was, we read in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, what to speak about human beings. Srila Prabhupada was as much worried as about an insect also. Once Srila Prabhupada saw a small snail-like small insect was dying in the garden, and then he calls one of his disciples and says, why not you sit and chant one round for that dying insect? So the disciple is sat and chant. Not only that, I remember this very beautiful pastime which is connected to Bangalore, how the Sampath Kumar Bhattacharya from Bangalore, when Prabhupada in his final days in 1977, when he was in Mumbai, Sampath Kumar Bhattacharya, he specially took a flight from Bangalore and he came to Mumbai to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he said it was very urgent. So they were not allowing anybody to meet Prabhupada, but because he said he all the way came and it was very urgent, they did organize a meeting. And in that meeting, Sampath Kumar Bhattacharya said that I want to speak personally to Prabhupada, and you know, it's something very secret. So then everybody went out. Usually they don't allow, but somehow. Now I heard this long time back from Atmatata Prabhu, and he said that somehow, because you know, they had this habit of keeping the tape recorder on, because they used to record whatever Prabhupada says. So the recorder was on, and then in this meeting, Sampath Kumar Bhattacharya says that, Prabhupada, I heard that you're not feeling well, you're suffering. And Prabhupada said, yeah, everybody is suffering in this material world. And he said, no, but if you suffer, you know, people who are connected to you, they also suffer. So Prabhupada said, yes, but what can I do? And then he said, well, I don't know if you are aware, but in your Vrindavan ISKCON temple, they are worshipping your Archa Vigra, your Murti, on the altar. And according to the Pancharatrika Shastra, while the Acharya is alive, If you worship his murti, then he takes all these sins, because, you know, so many kinds of people are coming and they're offering flowers to their murti. So that is why you are suffering. And he thought that he gave a big news to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is going to react like, really? But Prabhupada was like, yes, I know, that is why I came. So I know I'm taking their sins, and yeah, that is why I came for. And he was like, you know, in a shock, jaw dropped, you know. And then very next sentence Prabhupada said, a little furthermore, he said, not only that, even after I leave this world, I will keep taking their sins. I'll be taking their sins so that they are free from suffering and they can chant freely. So that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He was ready to take the sufferings of everybody so that they all can get connected to Krishna. Now, like father, like son, similar incident happened in Guru Maharaj's life. Many years ago, when Bhadracharu Prabhu invited a Sanskrit scholar to meet Guru Maharaj, and he had composed some 8 verses in glorification of Guru Maharaj. So they took him inside, he was sitting, and then he started reciting those verses, and Guru Maharaj was hearing them. Now, as usual, we know, you know, Guru Maharaj has a very unique style. Even if somebody is speaking, not necessary that Guru Maharaj is going to look like this in your eyes. He will be, you know, where is my tissue paper, sipping some water, looking here and there. Now for us, we know very well, even wherever he's looking, his ears are so sharp. He's going to hear each and every word of what we talk. But for the newcomers, they're like, why is he not hearing, you know? So this man, he just completed all his 8 verses. And then Guru Maharaj finished, and then he said, so you are done? And he said, yes. So Guru Maharaj said, you know, there is a mistake in the 5th verse. Now, all of them were like, you know, first of all, that man was in doubt whether Guru Maharaj was actually hearing the whole thing or not. And now on the top of the cake is like an icing. Guru Maharaj saying there is a mistake, you know. And then Guru Maharaj said, in the 5th verse, you said, I am ready to take all the sins of my disciples. This is wrong. Not only my disciples, I am ready to take the sins of every jiva in this world. And that man was shocked, you know. And this is what Guru Maharaj said. He said, I am ready to take the sins of everybody in this world. So this is Guru Maharaj's karuna, without discrimination, not only my disciples, just about everybody. I was hearing one other pastime the other day. It seems that, I don't remember which temple, but Guru Maharaj was visiting some temple. And by the time his flight landed and he reached the temple, it was late evening. So it was like time for them to close the altar. And Guru Maharaj wanted to take darshan. So the Guru Maharaj servants were just pushing the wheelchair, and they were like going quick, you know. I mean, they want to take Guru Maharaj inside the temple. So as soon as they're like just next to the door of the temple, they just jump to take out Guru Maharaj's shoes. Now, you know, when Guru Maharaj, wherever he is, everybody, hundreds of people are following him. So lots of Matajis are also following. So one Mataji, she also leaped in the front and started opening Guru Maharaj's left side shoes. And immediately the secretary screamed, Mataji, no, you should not touch. No, Matajis are not supposed to touch sannyasis. She must be new. So immediately her next reaction was, she was just thinking aloud, or rather I'll say muttering under her breath. She said, how I wish I was a man. I pray to Lord Sri Krishna that in my next life I become a man so that I can do physical seva to Guru Maharaj. This is what she said. And out of all this hangama and crowd, maybe Guru Maharaj just heard her, and immediately Guru Maharaj told his secretary, you know, let her do it. And this was like Guru Maharaj telling her that just to take out my shoes or just to serve me physically, don't desire again birth in this material world. Please, it's okay. Remove my shoes. That's all right. You know, just for this one seva, don't desire to come back to this material world. And it was as if Guru Maharaj saying that, see, as a sannyasi, they're not supposed to allow any ladies to touch their body. So Guru Maharaj is like, okay, I'm ready to take all the sins, but you don't desire to take another birth. It's okay. okay, you remove my shoes. And he did allow her that, yeah, please, you can remove my shoes. And I thought that was so sweet. That was so sweet. So that is Guru Maharaj's mercy. If we talk about Guru Maharaj's karuna, we'll stick to this one sloka only. What to speak about his unlimited mercy on the hospital staff where he's been staying after the stroke, and unlimited mercy on the nurse. Sometimes I feel that, you know, in ISKCON, we are preaching in jails, we are preaching in public places, we're preaching in colleges, so many places. But I think we're not preaching in hospitals. Maybe Guru Maharaj just thought, we're not preaching in hospitals, so maybe I should do some kind of a leela wherein I can get into every hospital in the big hospital in the city and just preach to those doctors and nurses, because they don't get time to come on. You know, even in here, you know, when we invite some doctors to come for a Sunday program, they say, oh, we're so busy. So maybe Guru Maharaj had just that karuna that these doctors and nurses, they're so busy, I give them an opportunity to serve me. And that's how Guru Maharaj made. Of course, Mahavara Prabhu very sweetly says that Guru Maharaj turns ICU into IKCU. Intensive Krishna Conscious Unit. It makes the nurse chant and his sweet how are yous to the doctors. You know, when the doctors come and the way he says how are you, and the doctors are like, Swamiji, we are supposed to ask you how are you, and you, and in turn you are asking us. So not to mention all those amazing leelas that Guru Maharaj do in the hospital, you know, with his alphabet charts, working so hard just to communicate it, give clicker to this nurse, give clicker to that nurse. So amazing and so full of mercy. And he's just ready to do anything. He's so protective about devotees, so much intense love and compassion he has for devotees. I remember one very funny incident that I had heard about Guru Maharaj, that, you know, in the Hyderabad ISKCON, they had a fight with the donors about some very large area, farmland. The donors had given the farmland during Prabhupada's time, and after that the value of the land increased and they wanted to take it back, so they had made a court case. There were lots of fighting going on, and they were literally sending gundas to beat up devotees because we had our cows in that farmland. So there were lots of things happening. So once when Guru Maharaj came to Hyderabad, so the devotees were complaining, Guru Maharaj, just look, you know, this devotee got beaten up, this happened, that happened. And I don't want to mention the name of those donors, but you know, they're giving us a lot of trouble. So as Guru Maharaj was hearing that, you know, his eyes were becoming red and the cheeks became red, and he was getting so angry. As the devotees are mentioning, you know, Guru Maharaj, they have bribed the police also. Even the police is not supporting us. No one is helping us. And Guru Maharaj is getting more angry. And then out of his anger, he just got up from, you know, he was sitting on the sofa and he just got up and he said, let's go and take me to the police station. I want to meet that police officer. And then immediately these devotees are like, no, Guru Maharaj, that's all right. We will talk to him. No, you can. And he didn't even look back. He's not even listening to them. He just started walking and going to the car, opened the door and sat in the car. Now devotees thought finished, because Guru Maharaj is so strong and maybe there's something physical he's going to do, because he was really red. Eyes were also red. So then they didn't know what to do, because Guru Maharaj is not in the mood to even listen. So they went straight to the police station, and the other devotees are also following in the other car. Everybody's heart is beating very fast. What's going to happen today? There's going to be big hangama. Sorry about my throat. So then finally the car reached the police station, and Guru Maharaj flung open the door of the car and he walked right inside. And then he asked, you know, the nameplates on the office doors, and he said, is that the officer? And they said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And he said, come with me. And everybody was like, finished. And he just went inside, you know, without even asking permission, opened the door. And that officer was like, you know, because Guru Maharaj is like huge, you know, big size, and Swamiji with a danda, and he was like taken aback. And Guru Maharaj came inside, you know, and everybody thought, now what's going to happen? And then the next moment, they can't see Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj is laying down doing shakshat dandavat pranam to the police officer. And the police officer is embarrassed. Swamiji, no, please get up. Swamiji, please don't do this. Shakshat dandavat pranam. And then he got up and he said, why are you doing this? You know, we are not saying that you should support us. At least be neutral. The case is going on in court. See how our devotees are getting beaten up. At least don't support them like that. Please be kind to us. He was just, you know, literally joining his two hands, and the police officer was thoroughly embarrassed. And he said, Swamiji, first you sit down. Please take a chair, sit down. And then he, you know, made Guru Maharaj sit down. That is Guru Maharaj's compassion for devotees. Oh, he can go any extent, you know. So, of course, and that shows how smart he is, you know, at least like Sama, Danda, Bhed, you know, where, what will work, he just knows. So, he's so full of compassion, and his only motive is to connect everybody to Krishna. Coming to our second verse. महाप्रभु कीर्तन नित्य गीता वादित्य माध्यान मनसोरसेना रोमांचकं पाश्रुतरंग भाजो वंदे गुरु श्री चरणारविंदम. So here it says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, महाप्रभु कीर्तन नित्य गीता. What does a spiritual master do? Chanting, dancing, singing, playing musical instruments. This is what the spiritual master is always doing and gladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes his hair stands on the end, he feels quivering in his body and tears flow from his eyes like waves. The essence of Krishna consciousness is crying for Krishna, crying. And we see these symptoms in the pure devotees. They're always crying for Krishna. And not only crying for Krishna when they are in front of the deity, they are always in front, always in that meditation, because they are never separated from Krishna. For you and me, coming in front of Krishna is like when we come in the temple and we are standing in front of the altar and we are standing in front of the deities, then we are in front of Krishna. But for the pure devotees, they're always facing Krishna, because they see Krishna everywhere and they see Krishna in everybody's heart. So they're always in that mood of gratitude and tearful, you know, remembering Krishna. Like we see this very beautiful pastime in Srila Prabhupada's life. It was once, of course, whatever I'm saying is like just one bit of it. There are like hundreds of such pastimes we can quote where Srila Prabhupada was crying. So in this pastime, Srila Prabhupada was in his room and he had finished his prasadam, and Govindadasi Mataji was cooking, and Sudama Prabhu was supposed to serve Prabhupada rasagullas. So he takes the rasagullas from the kitchen and he goes inside Prabhupada's room and he puts those rasagullas in Prabhupada's table. And then what he sees is Prabhupada's crying. Tears are flowing and Prabhupada is crying. He's terrified. Why is Prabhupada crying? So he just runs back to the kitchen and he's like, Mataji, come, come, urgent, urgent, Prabhupada is crying. And Govindadasi Mataji is like smiling. No, Mataji, Prabhupada is crying. And Govindadasi Mataji is like, yeah, yeah, he cries sometime. But Sudama Prabhu had never seen this. So for him, it was something, he never saw that before. So when he went back to take the empty plate, Prabhupada was still crying. And then he went back to, you know, because Prabhupada has to wash his hands. So he brings a bowl, you know, for washing hands. And Prabhupada is still crying. So then he very humbly asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why are you crying? And Prabhupada says, I'm crying because I'm just thinking Krishna is so merciful. My Guru Maharaj is so merciful. My Guru Maharaj sent all of you to help me. I'm an old man. What can I do? Because of all of your help, I could achieve this. I don't deserve. This is all the blessings of my... So I'm just crying. How fortunate I am. You know, how fortunate I am. Do I deserve? So he was in a very humble mood. He was crying. And Sudama Prabhu, he also started crying like a baby. And Prabhupada said, why are you crying? Then Sudama Prabhu said, I'm crying that what good karma did I do that I got you in my life as guru? That is why I'm crying, Prabhupada. So devotees, you know, always in that gratitude mood, they're crying for Krishna. Now, like father, like son, We see that in Guru Maharaj also. Oh my God, Guru Maharaj is, whenever he's in front of the deities, you see so many hundreds of pictures under those, behind those spectacles, his beautiful lotus eyes, always filled with tears for Krishna, right? Many times. And he's in such prayerful mood. I remember in 2017 when he came to Vizag, we give him a brass plate and then he offers aarti. And of course, his servant also helps him. And this time, Guru Maharaj was like, going round and round and round, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. And we all know Guru Maharaj's body is so soft, like a sponge, and there were red marks coming off. But he was not stopping. Even the servant stopped the plate moving, but if Guru Maharaj doesn't stop, what can he do? So he has to continue. Finally, Mahavara Prabhu had to intervene and take the plate off him, He was just going on, looking at the deity and continuously doing aarti, right? So we've seen so many such times, where Guru Maharaj is so full of gratitude, crying. I was once hearing that when Guru Maharaj went to Kanchipuram and he saw the Varadaraj deities, he was asking a devotee, what is the name of this deity? And when the devotee said that the name is Varadaraj, Guru Maharaj started crying all the more. And the devotee thought, did I say something wrong? Why is he crying like this? And then Guru Maharaj said, see, Varadaraj means the king of boons. Oh, Krishna is so kind. He is a king of giving boons to his devotees. And he was crying like a baby. Sometimes, devotees can't understand, why pure devotees cry. I remember once I was in Mayapur and that was fresh after the stroke when Guru Maharaj got well, and then he visited Mayapur. I think it was after some time. And at that particular day, it was afternoon and there was not many people in the temple. They had brought Guru Maharaj in the wheelchair for darshan, and probably he was going somewhere or leaving somewhere for some therapy, I don't remember. And I was standing near the Narsingadev, there is a pillar, in Mayapur, the two pillars. I was just standing there and everybody was seeing Guru Maharaj from far off. And then Guru Maharaj came and not many people. So he was, just looking at Radha Madhav, and then he was crying. So there was one Mataji who was standing next to me, and she made a very, I don't know who she was, and I don't know even if she was initiated, I don't know. But she was just thinking aloud, or rather she was trying to make a conversation with me, and she said, oh, so sad, like Guru Maharaj is crying, everybody's seeing that, and he's saying, okay, he must be feeling so bad, because you see, he was so active before and walking, and now he's restricted to this wheelchair, he must be feeling bad. So what she was trying to say is that maybe the Guru Maharaj tears are because of him being restrained to the wheelchair. And I thought that was so stupid. I immediately corrected that Mataji. I didn't hear. I said, Mataji, he's not crying because now he can't move anywhere or because he's restrained. He is crying because we are not able to become good devotees. So probably he's crying in front of Krishna that please make all my disciples good devotees. Maybe he is crying because he's feeling separation from Krishna. He is crying maybe because he's feeling gratitude towards Krishna. Oh Krishna, thank you for giving me another chance to continue serving you. There are innumerable reasons why the pure devotees cry. They have a special relation with Krishna. Maybe he is crying that please deliver all the jivas in this world. Maybe he is crying seeing that how we are all materially suffering. I went on and gave a piece of my mind to that Mataji there, and then she was like, okay Mataji, I understood. And I was like, a little aggressive that how dare you say that he is crying because he is not able to remain active or because he is in the wheelchair. He's not like you and me who complains about his physical body ailments, See, Guru Maharaj is going through so much physical problem, but he never talks about it. He never talks about it to anybody. And if we get a little problem, we talk about it to everybody. Not only anybody. Everybody will make sure that we'll tell them that I have this problem, right? last 7 months of this lockdown, I've developed some kind of a problem with my throat. Every time I give like one or two classes, I have to take another 4 days break. Heating develops, some kind of a heat in the throat. And I almost end up telling everybody this. I have this throat issue, and sometimes I wonder, just a small throat issue, and I guess everybody by now knows I have some issue with the throat. And Guru Maharaj, 50-60% of his body is not working, but still when you go to him, even on a general conversation also, he will never mention that I have a backache or I have some ache here or some water is getting stored in my leg. He will simply ask, how are you? So you have any questions? How is your chanting? So how is everything? So how is preaching? We get amazed. You know, Guru Maharaj is like a, you know, the kind of a warrior who is not asking why me. He's just telling Krishna, try me, you know, try me. No matter what kind of physical problem, no matter what happens, I'll never stop preaching about you. I'll never give it up. Nobody can stop me. So that is Guru Maharaj, you know. So we see that, you know, when Guru Maharaj was well, we all know his big jumpers and the way he used to do kirtan and his famous Gauranga kirtan and his chanting and his dancing and all is so very special. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that to such guru I pay my respectful obeisances, who is so enthusiastic in chanting and dancing, you know, for Krishna in the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who cries, who has tears flow from his eyes like water. So we see that, you know, dancing and chanting and nitya is not only the dancing and chanting and kirtan you do in the temple. When somebody is talking about Krishna, you know, all over the world, that is also dance. So now we don't see Guru Maharaj doing physical dancing in front of the deities, but he's doing a more bigger dance, you know, by going into people's houses through Zoom and, you know, going traveling and preaching. This is a bigger dance, you know. Dancing is not only physical. You're just spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. And of course, he has his unique ways, you know, where nobody's brain works. You know, he knows during the lockdown, he started this new concept of visiting devotees' houses, and he's inside their house. He was already inside their hearts, and now he's also inside their drawing rooms, inside their altars. So amazing, amazing way he's spreading the glories of the Sankirtan mission. We'll go to the next sloka. Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nitya Nana Shringaratan Mandira Marajando Yuktasya Bhaktam Chani Yunjatopi Vande Guru Shri Charanara Vrindam. So, a spiritual master is the one who is engaged always in worshipping and engages his disciples in such worship, dressing, cleaning and performing other similar worship. So, this is very important, Vigraha Seva, because out of the 64 limbs of bhakti that Rupa Goswami gave, 40 are connected to deity worship. And we see how Srila Prabhupada also was so particular about proper deity worship. He introduced the deities of Radha Krishna, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Maharani all over the world. And he trained his disciples. Even as of today, I think the way ISKCON deities look and the way they dress and the cleanliness standard in ISKCON temples is out of the world. The whole world appreciates our cleanliness standards and the way we decorate our deities. So we see Srila Prabhupada also, he has such special relationship with the deities, and he used to take such good care and he gives such good training. I remember one pastime where Srila Prabhupada was, you know, he had visited a temple after a long time, one of his centers. And then he was looking at the deities for some time. And then he called the temple president and he said, don't you think the deities are looking thin? And he was amazed, why will the deities look thin, you know? I mean, we never see deities becoming thin and fat. But then after a few minutes, he admitted, he said, you are right, Srila Prabhupada. We have, reduced the quantity of Rajbhog because of some financial budget constraint. You know, we have reduced some offerings, you know. So Prabhupada was so right. They had reduced offerings and that's why the deity was looking thin, you know. So that was the relationship Srila Prabhupada had with the deities. And like father, like son, we see that in Guru Maharaj also. The way he talks to the deities, I have heard hundreds of pastimes of devotees coming and saying how Guru Maharaj talks to the deities, he gives reports to the deities, deities give report to him, he communicates with them, he knows the devotees' minds through the deities. And not only that, Guru Maharaj introduced this deity worship in the Middle East, in the Muslim world in such a way, amazing. On my trips to the UAE and other different countries, I was amazed the way, you know, just like people say you should go to Bangladesh and see how Guru Maharaj preaches, you should also see the Middle East, the way Guru Maharaj has preached there. He, not one temple, not two temple, not one Vigraha Seva, hundreds and thousands of temples are there in UAE, because every house is a temple. They have deities, they do such beautiful morning program, they have, and not only that, even their houses, you go there, they, you know, they don't have the name of this person's house or that Rao or, you know, their surname. So, oh, every house has a beautiful name of a dham, and every devotee relates that I am living in Barsana dham, I am living in this dham, you know. It's amazing the way he has introduced the deity worship there, and, you know, made every house into a temple, right? So that we see quality in Srila Prabhupada and in Guru Maharaj. Not only that, cleaning, decorating, even cooking for the deities. We see how Guru Maharaj, especially his very famous cooking of, you know, during the Panihati festival, poha, the flat rice cooking that he does during the Panihati in the Atlanta temple. It's called the New Panihati Dham because of the Chida Dahi festival that they do so grandly, and the way Guru Maharaj enthusiastically participates and he cooks. And even, I think, even now during this lockdown, you know, he did have this Chida Dahi mixing, and he personally supervised. And not only that, he has such unique ways. I was watching on his Facebook how for Janmashtami and Radhashtami and all the festivals, he's having deities right in his room. And there, you know, some devotees' deities, and he's doing Abhishek. He's not missing anything, everything. And even Rath Yatra. He had Rath Yatra right there in the corridor of his Lotus Building residence, you know, having Rath Yatra, having Janmashtami, everything. And even in the Middle East, the way they have the programs, amazing. Though they are not supposed to publicly do any event, but inside the room, they have a small Ratha and everybody drags the Ratha just inside the room. So he has a unique ways of serving the deities. Serving the deities is not only that you decorate and clean them, but you please them by preaching also. And we see how Guru Maharaj preaching all over the world, and he introduced Radha Krishna Seva all over the world. You know, we see that. So we see that you know, it specifically says here that cleaning, worshipping, dressing. Now cleaning is not only cleaning the temple. Sometimes you clean other places so that you can afford a temple. Now, I'll tell you why I'm saying this. Because I heard this from Gopal Krishna Maharaj. In some class, he was saying that in 1968, Guru Maharaj, when he was made the Montreal Temple president, and say, Guru Maharaj, I think just after his initiation, within 2 months, that's what I heard, that he was made the temple president, but they didn't have money to pay the rent for that temple. So Guru Maharaj actually worked in some other office where he had to sweep and clean that office. And with that money which he got, he was paying the rent for the temple. So even that is also cleaning. See, this is also seva. It's not only cleaning the temple. He was cleaning some other place so that the temple can be maintained. That enthusiasm he had for seva. I was hearing that from somebody that when Guru Maharaj went to meet Prabhupada in Montreal, he wanted to have Prabhupada's audience, and he waited 16 hours straight to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada never knew that Guru Maharaj was waiting for him, but he waited for 16 hours full of patience to have that first meeting with Prabhupada. And then he wanted to ask that, how can I serve you? You know, how can I be part of your vision, your mission? You know, so that is Guru Maharaj, right? Amazing, amazing service. We'll go to the next sloka. See, even Srila Prabhupada was so particular about cleaning and about the suchi and muchi. We see even Guru Maharaj is so particular about, you know, those. I remember one devotee was telling that, you know, once Guru Maharaj gave some prasad, Khaja Prasad, inside the temple hall. So immediately the devotee put it in the mouth. And then Guru Maharaj stopped him and said, look, when there are no options for cleaning your hand with water, then you don't eat with your fingers touching your mouth. You just, you know, put it from far inside your mouth so that your hands don't touch your mouth, you know. That is suchi. Otherwise you are muchi, you know. Otherwise you have to clean your hand. You can't start chanting after that. And that devotee, he said, I was so taken aback because I belong to a Sri Vaishnav family and I thought I know very well, you know, what is this cleanliness and we are very perfect. And then here I see Guru Maharaj was, you know, telling that this is not the way, you know, you, this is how you eat. So he's so particular about cleanliness. Going to the next sloka. Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Swadana Triptam Hari Bhakta Sangha Kritveva Triptim Bhajata Sadeva Vande Guru Shri Charanara Vrindam. Always offering, the spiritual master is always offering four kinds of food. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasad, then he is satisfied. We see that, you know, the whole ISKCON movement is started because of Prasadam. And how Srila Prabhupada was so particular that everybody gets Prasadam. And there are hundreds of such pastimes in Srila Prabhupada's life where he was, you know, emphasizing, you know, about distribution of Prasadam. So once when Harisori Prabhu's parents came to visit him after he became a devotee, Prabhupada was not there. So Harisori Prabhu took his parents everywhere and, you know, showed them the temple and how they are preaching, and then they went away. And after 2 hours, Prabhupada came. So when Prabhupada got down from his car, Harisori Prabhu was so excited. He went and told Prabhupada, you know, my parents came and then I showed them how we are preaching and then I took them to the Goshala. And Prabhupada said, did you give them prasadam? And he said, no, I didn't give them prasadam. And then he was trying to explain and Prabhupada cut him there and said, then what is the use? As if the goal of life is they should somehow or the other take prasad. Because Prabhupada knows what is the importance of prasad. So it was as if what's the use then, right? So in the Mahabharata, this loka comes where Vyasadeva is telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Mahaprasade Govinde Namo Brahmane Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Vatan Rajan Vishwaso Naiva Jayate. Said those who have done Svalpa Punya, little Punya, they cannot have faith on Mahaprasad. They cannot have faith on Govinda. They cannot have faith on Naam, Krishna's Naam. They cannot have faith on Vaishnav. So only if you have accumulated enough good karma, then you can understand the value of prasad. So we see Prabhupada was so very particular about everybody taking prasad. He said, try to give them books, but if somebody is a nonsense, then give prasad. At least give prasad. Somehow or the other, they will come back, come to Krishna. And like father, like son, this quality of Guru Maharaj is, oh, everywhere that he goes, he will give prasad, distributing prasad. I think almost all the airports around the world know about Guru Maharaj, you know, because he gives prasad. And I think he made many devotees. I have heard that many of them who were working in the airport and how they got addicted to Guru Maharaj's cookies and Guru Maharaj prasad, and then later in their life they got connected to the temple and chanting and initiation and so many such amazing stories. I was once hearing Simheshwar Prabhu, he was talking about Guru Maharaj pastimes, and he was mentioning that how in the early 1980s or something, he had to take some 18 trunks of material, some shankha he had bought for Janmashtami from Rameshwaram, and he had to take them in flight from the Chennai airport to Kuala Lumpur. And he was so worried, how will I take all these trunks? And but when they went to the airport they were surprised. They were given a royal welcome as if they are VIPs. Everybody is helping them, all the officers, no problem Swamiji, and the trunks are getting checked in and everything is going so well. And he was really worried. So he thought, what is happening? You know, this was something like how Balaram got confused with the Brahma Vimohan Leela. You know, what is happening? Why everybody showing so much love and affection, Krishna? Similarly, Simhaeshwar Prabhu is like, what is happening? Everybody showing so much affection on me. I mean, what am I doing? Then he asked an officer, you know, what is going on? And then they said, you know, somebody from ISKCON came, you know, yesterday, and he distributed prasadam. And then after, you know, as the conversation went ahead, he understood that Guru Maharaj had taken a connecting flight and he had passed through the Chennai airport yesterday evening, and he had distributed prasadam to almost everybody in the airport. So they have not forgotten that taste of prasadam. That is why they were more than willing to help the devotees. And Simhaeshwar Prabhu was like, Guru Maharaj, you know, the way he, so, I mean, indirectly, directly, he just helped, you know, because those trunks were supposed to go as soon as possible for Janmashtami celebration. So, yeah, we know that he has this habit of, you know, distributing prasadam. I remember when we first came to Vizag, Guru Maharaj came here in 1999, June. And we had come a month before to start an ISKCON center in Vizag. So we didn't have nothing because we had also just come from the US and we didn't know nothing about Visakhapatnam city. We just rented a place. Still, we didn't have gas cylinder connection. And I mean, we're still making all preparations. There is no much. I mean, we're just starting. We just took a place on rent and Guru Maharaj came to Visakhapatnam. And we were not ready. And I mean, we were still fixing the ISKCON board to the center and everything was. So when we went to pick up Guru Maharaj to the airport, so he was asking, where is prasadam? And now, you know, out of all that tension, because he's coming and the telephone line is not there and we have to get a bed for him and so many tension we forgot. And all the while he was so upset about it that how can you just come like that, you know, without any prasadam I could not distribute in the airport. And he was so upset about it. But of course, that was the first and the last time we got that chastisement from Guru Maharaj. But now I never forget. I always, whenever go to pick him up to the airport. In fact, I think he was last year in September, and Guru Maharaj got some allergy, so they said that he can't have a flowers mala, so we made a dry fruits mala for him with all makhana and different dry fruits. So and then took some khaja prasad also. So when we put the mala on Guru Maharaj, and my husband was like, don't do that, you know, even the dry fruit mala, he was a little apprehensive why to take a risk. But Guru Maharaj saw my face that I was really keen that mala should be on him, because devotee is made with such love and affection. So he said, that's all right. He asked me to, no, put it, that's all right. And he took it. And then he took one piece out of that makhana and he ate it, you know, because it's a dry fruit mala, so you can eat it. So he ate it. And then he said, now you distribute. And then, of course, I, you know, very excitedly, I took the khaja because I want to impress him, you know, that I just brought. And I was like, Guru Maharaj khaja. But, there is no way he can distribute, because we ourselves had made human chains that nobody comes next to him because he just got the transplant, so we don't want he should get infected. So then very sweetly he just put his two hands on the khaja, and one khaja he gave it to Mahavara Prabhu to eat, and then he said, you distribute. And then we got it distributed in the airport. So we see that even till today he's so particular that prasadam should be distributed. So the whole ISKCON society has come up because of the importance, because of the power of Mahaprasad and Guru Maharaj. Not only that, I was hearing how not only distributing Mahaprasad, he also takes Mahaprasad of different Vaishnavas. When I heard that, I was surprised, because I never knew this before. One of the devotee was sharing that he does seva in the he was doing seva in the GBC during the GBC meetings. So he was once mentioning that, you know, after the GBC meeting, lunch is over and all the Maharaj, they just wash hand and go. And Guru Maharaj, he asked the servant, you know, whose plate is this? Said Guru Maharaj, this is Radhanath Maharaj. Whose plate is that? This is Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Whose plate? He asks, and then he goes and he takes the remnants from their plates. This is what I heard from that devotee, and I was so surprised. I mean, Mahaprasad, and just see his humility, you know, and his value of Mahaprasad, you know. So he just makes sure he takes that Mahaprasad of different devotees, and so that is Guru Maharaj. So not only eating Mahaprasad, distributing Mahaprasad, and he feels very happy when he sees devotees taking Mahaprasad. On many occasions, Guru Maharaj has told devotees, you know, when they are taking prasad, he says, you should eat so much so that you can't walk up to your room. You have to roll to your room. I mean, you are eating so much that you have to roll to your room. You know, that's how he talks. Yeah. Even in Srila Prabhupada's life also, we see that Prabhupada used to feel so happy when the devotees are eating. He personally, Srila Prabhupada had come to Vishakhapatnam in February 1972. And there was no ISKCON center, of course, at that time. So he was staying in Puri Maharaj's Gaudiamath. And there is beautiful pastime in Srila Prabhupada, Leelamrit, of how he was personally standing there and making sure that everybody gets prasadam, you know, and take another serving. So like father, like son, we say, oh my God, both of them are like, you know, distribute their, because they put their compassion and their blessings and Krishna's mercy and everything inside that when they are actually giving us, you know, prasadam. It's not only prasadam, it's maha maha prasadam, because it's Krishna's mercy and then touch of Guru's blessings. So it becomes maha maha prasad. Okay, we go to the next sloka. Shri Radhika, Shri Radhika, Madhavyora para, Madhurya lila, Gunarupa nam, Pratikshana svadana lolopasya, Vande Guru Shri Charanara Vrindam. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Guru is always, the spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about pastimes of Radhika and Madhav, their qualities, names and forms, and they aspire to relish this at every moment. Pratikshana asvadana lolopasya. So we see that in Srila Prabhupada's life, he was reading his own books, right? He said that, do you think I wrote these books? No, Krishna has dictated them. So he himself hears his book. And not only that, we read in Prabhupada Leelamrit how no matter what health condition he had, he was so eager to talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada was so good, so good at hearing that when his name got recommended for initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the comment Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made was, he hears my classes very attentively. He hears my classes. So Prabhupada's so eager to hear about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, right? And that's such an amazing quality. Sometimes even if we have a little knowledge, you know, and sometimes even if the speaker is repeating a story that we know, immediately our mind is like, I know, you know, we don't hear properly. But imagine, you know, like Prabhupada, and we see Guru Maharaj, oh my God, they're so keen on hearing about Krishna. We see this past time in Srila Prabhupada Leelamrit, how he once had a very bad toothache. He was not able to talk. Still, when he came to know that the devotees are waiting for his darshan, then he asked them to come inside and then he asked them to read Krishna book, and then he was hearing from the Krishna book. So and then at last, when the devotees got up to go with that bad toothache, Prabhupada asked, so do you have any questions? And Prabhupada's secretary was like amazed. How can somebody be so merciful? He's unable to talk. He has a pain. His whole body is shrunk. But he's still asking that, do you have any questions? You know, it's like they're so eager to connect people to Krishna. And like father, like son, we see that in Guru Maharaj. He's so keen to talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna. Always ready to talk about Krishna in every situation. Now, especially I'm seeing, giving so many time live, morning, evening, night, late night. He's always ready to give classes. Almost all the time you just go to the Facebook, you see him live and giving classes, reading from his Krishna Chaitanya book and going on. In fact, I remember even when he came to Vizag and And then, you know, we had some program scheduled for him, but we didn't have a schedule that he will speak in the night, because we thought, you know, he's not feeling well. But however, we just wanted to, you know, see, when Guru Maharaj is here, nobody wants to go home, you know, up to 10 o'clock also, all devotees are here only. So they're all moving here, there, near Guru Maharaj room, you know, in case if Guru Maharaj comes out for his walking, physiotherapy, exercise, and we can get a glimpse. And Mahavara Prabhu was telling everybody, shh, don't make noise. If he comes to know that the devotees are still there, he'll say, I want to give class. He'll come out, don't make noise. He should not know. You people want to stay, you stay. In case if he comes out for walking from far off, you see. But don't, if he comes to know, then he wants to give class. Guru Maharaj always wants to talk about Krishna. Mahavara Prabhu was mentioning once that how, you know, when they went to Los Angeles for therapies for Guru Maharaj after the stroke, and the therapies used to go like morning 7 to evening 4, 5 o'clock. And the traveling was also taking a lot of time, morning 1 hour, evening 1 hour. And after the whole day therapy, Guru Maharaj gets tired, comes, takes bath, takes dinner, and then he gives class. One day, Guru Maharaj was so tired that even while having dinner, his eyes was getting closed. Now, this is something. How can somebody sleep while eating? That means he was really tired. So then they didn't make much noise. They told all the devotees, today there is no class. You can go. So after dinner, Guru Maharaj washed his hands and he said, okay, so now I'll give class. So they said, Guru Maharaj, we cancel the class and we send all the devotees out. And Guru Maharaj was so angry. He said, I am a sannyasi. I want to talk about Krishna. My life is not for taking these therapies. Why did you send the devotees out? I wanted to speak. And he was so upset. So then they understood, okay, we should, next time we should be careful. And he was, why did you cancel the class? So he's so, so eager to speak about Krishna, no matter what the situation, how tired he is, you know. But I remember when he, in 1998, I was in with my husband in Miami, and some phone call came, you know, to Miami Temple reception. I picked it up. They were doing some PhD paper or something. I don't remember now. It's a long time back. And they were visiting all different organizations. So they wanted to come to our organization. So I did speak with them on the phone. And I said, fine, come over and you'll be very happy. Our Guruji has come. Our teacher has come. And you'll be very happy to meet him. So I invited them. So then they came, and but Guru Maharaj was very tired because that day only he had come and he was so tired. So he was on this, on an easy chair, and he was like, you know, resting, eyes were closed. I was like, whether I should ask him or not. But because I went inside and made a little noise, his secretary was doing something behind. He opened his eyes and I said, Guru Maharaj, some people have come to meet you. So do you like to talk to them? He said, definitely. So he, you know, I just invited everybody in. Now, one moment he was like this, closing his eyes and completely tired. Even while replying, he's like closing his eyes. The second moment when those people were seated, you should see the tinkle in his eyes and the enthusiasm. He started speaking so nicely with them as if he was never tired. And I was just looking amazed. No fatigue, nothing, you know. Completely not in his bodily conscious. Started speaking to them, you know, and they were so happy. At the end of it, at the end of it, you know, they were very happy, and they went back. Of course, one sweet pastime happened is like how they were. I was very young, and it was 98, and so Guru Maharaj said something in the end, you know, just like her. He was just explaining that how, you know, we teach and how we train devotees, and also he was just showing at me, and then those people who had come, and they were saying, yeah, we saw that, and they were saying that when we spoke to her on the phone, we expected that when we actually come here, we will see an old lady with little white hairs and all. But when we actually came here, you know, and when we asked for Mother Nithai, you see, my name is Nithai Sevi, so they call Mother Nithai. And when they showed that she is Mother Nithai, and we were like, oh, this small girl? Okay, we were expecting some old lady. So then Guru Maharaj was smiling, and he said, she's always been like this. She's always been like this. Now, he said that because, you know, he's seen me in Hyderabad. And when I was in class 11, I once did the master ceremony for Guru Maharaj's program in Hyderabad in Harihar Kalashetra. And I was in class 11, so I never wore a sari. But because I had to do the master ceremony, I wore my mom's sari. And I was there doing the whole master ceremony for the program. And at the end, when Guru Maharaj finished the program, there was some prize distribution and he was leaving. And I was standing next to his car. So he called me. He said, "What is your age?" I said, "I'm 16. So Guru Maharaj said, but you are speaking like a 25-year-old lady. You speak more maturely than your age." And then I was smiling. So now just Guru Maharaj remembers this. And when he in Miami, when they said like this, you know, he made that comment. Yeah, she's always been like that. You know, she's always been like that, speaking more than her age, you know. So I it was very sweet. So then, yeah, so here we see, oh, Guru Maharaj is always eager to talk about Krishna. I'll tell one very sweet pastime, one of my favorite pastimes that I heard about Guru Maharaj. It was in 2015. And Guru Maharaj was flying from Singapore to Perth. So when they landed in Perth, it was already like late in the night, midnight, 12:10. So by the time they took the luggage, they came out, some 30 devotees were standing outside the airport, and Jai Jai, they were welcoming Guru Maharaj. So by 1:15, they were out of the airport. Then they reached the devotee's house who was hosting them. So everything, arrangement was made first class. So they settled everything, and now it was time, you know, Guru Maharaj has to sleep. So, but there was a little problem. The mattress in which Guru Maharaj is supposed to sleep was very soft. So when they were making Guru Maharaj sleep, he was going down, you know, sinking inside the mattress. So they didn't know what to do. So they were trying all kinds of arrangements, putting pillow this side, that side, because he's supposed to sleep in a particular angle, like a 35 degrees, 40 degrees, something, because he had a problem in the lungs. And if he doesn't sleep properly, then he will have breathing problem. So no matter what kind of, you know, matching they were doing, it was not working. So finally they decided, okay, we'll go and get the mattresses from the temple, you know. But that will take another 40 minutes, but they had no choice. So two devotees went to the temple to get the mattresses. Meanwhile, the devotee who was hosting, the grihastha, he had another mattress in the next room. So they got that mattress, and with that they were trying now. It went on for almost 2 hours. This mattress, that mattress, that mattress, this mattress. And, you know, even the servants, Mahavar Prabhu and all, they're sleeping on this mattress and checking, this is not correct, next, this, that. They were doing all sorts of things. Finally, the mattress arrived and it was set. And now they felt, and meanwhile, Guru Maharaj just sitting and watching all the hangama happening, because, you know, mattress, what will happen to the mattress? Finally, by 3:30 in the morning, they're done with this mattress issue. So now they, you know, putting Guru Maharaj to sleep. From the wheelchair, they are shifting Guru Maharaj to the bed. So Guru Maharaj started narrating the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, from Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamritam, the Beda pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Kirtan pastimes, you know. So one of the devotees who was, you know, lifting Guru Maharaj, he said, "Guru Maharaj, it's already late, maybe you should take rest." And Guru Maharaj very gravely said, he said, "I'm seeing last 2 hours, you people are making so much issue about bed, bed, bed. I don't want to sleep in bed consciousness. I want to sleep in Krishna consciousness. I want to sleep in Chaitanya consciousness. I will speak about Chaitanya." So then they said, "Okay, Guru Maharaj." So then he spoke another half an hour, you know. So from the bed leela to the Beda pastime, the Beda leela, he spoke half an hour about Chaitanya leela, and then he went to sleep, you know. So who will do that? Middle of the night, you are tired. I mean, but for him, you know, one moment he'll be closing eyes like this and tired, and the second moment, you know, he says Gauranga and he gives an amazing class. Of course, we can go on and on, you know, with so many stories related to this, how, you know, Guru Maharaj in every situation, no matter how tired he is, when there is an opportunity to speak about Krishna, he's all enthusiastic. And at those times, we just clearly see that he's not this body. He's not this body. So like that. Pratishana Aswadana Lolopasya. You know how, you know. See, it's like when you love someone, you want to hear about that person. These pure devotees, they are in love with Krishna and they want to hear and talk about Krishna all the time. That is why we see Mahavira Prabhu tells many times that how when Guru Maharaj is restricted from preaching or restricted from talking, about Krishna or restricted from traveling, then his BP goes high. And whenever he's allowed to preach, then, you know, things get back to normal. Go to the next sloka.
Nikunjayu no ratikeli sidhe yayalibiyu tirapekshaniya tatradidakshadati vallabhasya vande guru shri charanara vrindam.
The spiritual master is very dear because he is an expert in assisting the gopis, making arrangement for pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. So, what do the gopis do in the Nikunjavan? What are they doing? Basically, they are helping in pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, what the whole process is that somehow get the devotees in association of Krishna. This is what the gopis are doing. If we consider Radharani as a lover of Krishna, as a devotee of Krishna, then what the gopis are doing is just making facilities for the lover and the beloved to meet, for the devotee and the Lord to meet. So the pure devotees, these Vaishnava Acharyas, our spiritual masters in Goloka Vrindavan, they are assisting the gopis to do that there. And they continue doing that when they come here in the material world also. The only difference is they are connecting the devotees to Krishna, and here also they are connecting the forgotten jivas to Krishna. It's the same thing. This is the same pastime where the forgotten jivas who were all connected to Krishna once, they're just trying to connect them back. So we see that in Srila Prabhupada's life. Nothing could stop him from doing that, you know. See, you know, adamant, the in the Hindi word for adamant or Sanskrit word for adamant is hata karna, you know. Like there is bala hata. Sometimes you see children, they do so much hata. I want this chocolate, I want this, you know, bala hata. You can't convince them this way or that way. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he had a bala hata. I want to get Vishnu, and he got it. One is three hata. The ladies, when they make hata, I want this sari, I want this, you know, it's so difficult, like Kaikai, it was very difficult for Dashrath to convince him. Like that, there's another hata, which is called sadhu hata. The sadhu, they have that hata, I want to take every jiva back to Krishna, and nobody can stop them. This is sadhu hata. No matter what happens, whether they are physically restrained or no matter what happens to them, or even if the whole world is under corona, they know how to reach devotees, and they know how to connect devotees with Krishna. So we that see that in Srila Prabhupada's life. In his old age didn't stop him. His financial situation didn't stop him. And whatever other hurdles and obstacles he had in his life, whether it's from his family side or other avenues, it could not stop him, right? So, same thing, like father, like son, we see that in Guru Maharaj. Even today or previously, whatever situations were there, wherever, nothing could stop him. I was hearing from one devotee from Bangladesh, you know, they were explaining how, you know, in those days, things were so austere, sometimes Guru Maharaj had to even sleep in a cattle shed. Some grihastha house where they keep goats, they used to clean up that place, and then Guru Maharaj had to stay there because the situation was like that. So he just did all kinds of sacrifices just so that he can get the forgotten souls back to Krishna. So we can go on with so many such examples. It's not about, not only about connecting new people to Krishna, even he has this very unique quality of you know, some people who get astray from ISKCON and the mainstream ISKCON. I don't want to mention names, but Guru Maharaj has been instrumental in getting so many such factions back to ISKCON and getting them connected back to the mainstream. So that is one thing. He's always thinking of how to connect everybody back to Krishna, back to Prabhupada, back to the ISKCON movement. You know, personally, there were some incidents here also. I've seen some factions of people going away, but Guru Maharaj gives all the more love and affection to them and somehow gets them back to the mainstream ISKCON. So that is one quality of Guru Maharaj for devotees, non-devotees, just about anybody. His whole motive is how to get them connected. I was hearing one past time how once Guru Maharaj traveled from US to Tokyo, and it was almost like a 12 hours flight. And you can imagine, after a 12 hours flight, you have a jet lag. But, you know, he just reached, took bath, had dinner, and then he gave a short class. So his servants were like, okay, done. We are done for the day. Let's hit the bed. Because Guru Maharaj is done, class is over. So after the class, one couple, completely new couple, they said they wanted to talk to Guru Maharaj. So the servants thought, fine, harmless, just another 5-10 minutes and we are done. So then they said, all right. So Guru Maharaj started speaking to them and started speaking to them. Now it seemed that this lady was pregnant. And Guru Maharaj said that, did you have Srimanta Saromani? And she said, no. And then Guru Maharaj said, yeah, so we can have it now, because next day I think Guru Maharaj was leaving or something. So there, in the middle of the night, Guru Maharaj wanted to have a Srimanta Saromani. So then he looked at his servants and said, make arrangements. Now, in the middle of the night, they are in Tokyo, and Guru Maharaj wanted to have a small fire sacrifice, and they didn't know what to do. Finally, they got a kadai. You know kadai? Where you cook big kadais, and I don't know what you call them in English, big pot. So they got one big pot. And then his servants were out in the garden, you know, where they were staying, and trying to pick some twigs and something from the trees. And then they put everything there, and then they had a small fire sacrifice. And this all happened in the middle of the night. And Guru Maharaj doesn't know them. They also don't know Guru Maharaj so well. And Guru Maharaj is not even sure that he will ever going to meet them again in his life. But he wanted to do that Srimanta ceremony for them. That is his sweet nature. He doesn't know them, but he wants to do a favor to them. He wants to help them. So he goes out of his way to connect people to Krishna. You know, I think most of them, they don't know so much about Krishna. They get attracted to this whole process of Krishna consciousness is because of Guru Maharaj's love and compassion. You know, see, I remember when I was young, you know, my younger sister, when my mother used to feed her, you know, see, nowadays children, you know, you feed them by showing some cartoon on the cell phone, but those were not the days. You know, those days is like you just take them to the balcony, show them the crow and pigeon, and then you feed them while they are looking at the crow. Now I remember when my mother used to say, look at the crow, look, 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 look. Now my sister, my younger sister, instead of looking at the crow, she used to look at my mother only. Why? Because she used to think that this lady was sane just a couple of minutes ago. How come suddenly so exaggerated expressions? Look, 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 you know, and she is like, what is happening with my mother? She was a normal, you know, why she's so excited? So she's always looking at my mother. After a month or so, when she got more sense, then instead of looking at my mother, she started looking at where my mother was pointing towards. And then she started looking at the crows and the traffic. Similarly, the things happen in Krishna consciousness. Initially, we are just looking at the person who is showing us towards Krishna. It takes us some time to even see what he's showing, you know. So all of us are like, Guru Maharaj is the one who's actually showing us, look, that is Krishna. But as of now, we are all on a stage where we're just looking at him, and just looking at him and connecting to him is giving us so much pleasure, security and happiness. And we're seeing whatever via him, and maybe one day we will be on that level where we can see what he wants us to see and get connected to Krishna. But for now, we are all simply connected to him, but he is connected to Krishna, so it works. Okay, we'll go to the next. We're late. Next sloka.
Shakshadhari tvena samasta shastre yuktastatha bhavyateva sadvi kintu prabhuya priyevatasya vande guru shri charanara vrindam.
So here it says, spiritual master should be honored as much as his supreme lord, because he is the confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all the revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. He is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving us an instruction that the spiritual master should be respected, you know, equal to Hari. And you know, there's one very beautiful sloka in Hari Bhakti Vilas. I'll read it for you. 4.344. Prathamam tu gurum pujya tatascheva mamarchanam kurvan siddhim avapnoti hi anyata nishfalam bhavet. Says prathama tu gurum pujya. If somebody is not worshipping Guru first, before worshipping me, then nishfalat, their puja is doesn't have any fruit. That is what Krishna is saying himself. He said, first worship Guru, then worship me, then all perfection is achieved. But if somebody directly tries to worship Krishna, then nishfalam, fruitless, all his endeavors are fruitless. So here we see that, you know, Guru should be worshipped equal to Krishna, because Guru is not equal to Krishna. Guru is greater than Krishna, because Krishna is controlled by the love of his pure devotees, right? You know, sometimes in the morning, you know, when we are doing japa after Mangala Arati, we have a nice goshala here, a small one in ISKCON Vizag. So in the morning after Mangala Arati, 5:15, 5:30, they leave the cows in the open. So they move around everywhere, you know. And then before Darshanarati, by 7:30, they have to put the cows back in the shed. But once the cows are out, very difficult to get them back. They will not go, even if you pull them. But you know, our Goshala guys, they're very smart. What they do is they don't ask the cows to come back to the shed. They don't do nothing with the cows. They simply take the calves. They take the calves to the Goshala. And when they take the calves to the Goshala, the cows simply follow. They don't need any invitation. They'll simply follow because the calves are going inside the Goshala. See, this is what it is with the pure devotees. When we try to serve Krishna, get Krishna's attention, impress Krishna, it's not going to work out. But when we are serving his devotees, when we are following their footsteps and all, you know, then Krishna simply follows. Because wherever his pure devotees are going, he's attracted. He'll simply, so it is so easy to get Krishna, you know, under control. If you just serve his devotees, because he's always following his devotees, just like a cow out of lot of affection is always following the calf. Where is my baby? Similarly, Krishna is always, you know, his eyes are always on his pure devotees. And such pure devotees, if we serve them, then we get blessed by Krishna. Just like the cow feels so happy when you're loving the calf, you're giving some, you know, banana, the cow feels so happy. Similarly, Krishna feels so happy when we serve his pure devotees. So here, we're supposed to honor Guru, you know, just like you know, just like we honor Krishna. And this is what is said in by all the authorities, because Guru is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Yeah, Guru is a bona fide. It comes in the Guru Parampara. And of course, what to say about our dear Guru Maharaj? He is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I think Prabhupada said that, and Guru Maharaj also confirmed it. Because one or two occasions when devotees asked Guru Maharaj this question, that Guru Maharaj, is it true? And Guru Maharaj just blushed and he was smiling and he said, this is an open secret. He said, this is an open secret. And I was hearing once Gauranga Prem Maharaj, he was just saying that once how they got stuck in some village in Bangladesh and they had lost their way and they didn't know what to do and how to come out. And then Guru Maharaj led the way and very simply he brought them to another house and there he spoke to an old lady and he got the whole way back. So everybody was amazed because Guru Maharaj never came before. Nobody came. They all went to that village for preaching first time. But Guru Maharaj showed the way as if, you know. And then, you know, one servant of Guru Maharaj, he just asked Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, how do you know that, you know? And Guru Maharaj was simply smiling and he said, I came here before. That's all he said. And of course, the servant didn't have the guts to ask in which life you came. He didn't ask that, but it's understood. Guru Maharaj said, I came here before. So we know that Guru Maharaj is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yes, Guru should be respected equal to Krishna. See, I'll tell one very short story. I'm sorry, I think we're running out of time, but I'll try to complete as soon as possible. I'll tell you one very nice, it's a very interesting story. It's about, you know, in the 1800s, there was this millionaire. His name was Baron Rothschild, and he was an investment banker, and he was so rich, a millionaire. He was practically giving loans to big countries. Now, he had this, he had a palatial house. I think it was gifted by Queen of England, very palatial, beautiful house. And he had all his paintings, you know, himself riding on the horse, himself cooking, you know, in different positions. So one day while having dinner, he thought, I have my pictures all over in different uniforms, like an army man, like a navy, you know, but how would I look if I was a beggar? No, rich man fantasies. He just wants to see, how will I look? So he goes to a painter and says, can you paint me as a beggar? I want to see how I look. You know, just like nowadays, the youngsters, they do it in Facebook and, you know, something cartoon, they'll put their face inside Photoshop, you know. So he wanted to do something like this. So the painter said, look, he was a very famous painter, and he said, if I do an art, it has to be original and very nice, you know, and that feeling has to come. But you don't look like a beggar, you are a rich man. So you should really look like hungry, you know, then the painting will come out very original. So this Baron, he actually fasted for a couple of days, and then he wore a tattered cloth, and then with a stick and a begging bowl, he stood there, you know, that was in France somewhere, and there was a nice place there, you know, where do the beggars beg? You know, some places, big places, they will beg next to the staircase or something. So he was standing there giving a position of a beggar like this. And the painter across the street was looking at him and painting. This was what is happening. Now this Baron, he looked really like a beggar. So genuinely he was looking like a beggar. That one man who was passing through that place, he likes to give charity. So he just put one franc in that beggar's bowl and left. Now this Baron felt insulted. I am a millionaire and he's giving me one franc. So, but he can't move because, you know, this painting is happening. So he cannot move. But he just looked at his secretary. And the secretary did the job. He followed that man who had given the, you know, franc as a donation, took his address. After 2 months, he went to that man who had given one franc, you know, charity, and gave him 10,000 francs. So this man said, why are you giving me this 10,000 francs? He said, you remember 2 months back, you had given one franc, a donation to one beggar. He said, I give to so many beggars. How do I remember? So he said, you had given him that one franc thinking that he is a beggar, but he was not a beggar. You thought he was a beggar, but he knows he is not a beggar. He is an investment banker. So he has taken your one franc as an investment. And with that investment, he earned 10,000 francs for you. This is the money, you take it. Now I was just thinking that he said that, okay, you don't know that he's a baron, but the baron knows that he is a baron. Similarly, when we give respects, do vandanam, pranam, namaskarams to our guru, probably we don't even have an idea on what level they are, how pure devotees they are. So we don't know their power, but they know their power, right? So today we pay obeisances to Guru Maharaj. Maybe we don't know how powerful he is, but he knows how powerful he is. So we may give our, you know, 1 pence, you know, 1 franc worth of obeisances, but Guru Maharaj gives back unlimitedly. When he blesses us, he takes away all our sufferings, he takes away all our sins, he takes away all obstacles from our lives and gives us unlimited blessings. So consciously or unconsciously, knowing or unknowingly, whether understanding, not understanding, should make sure that we respect the Guru just as we respect Krishna. So we'll go to the next sloka. Yashya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yashya prasadat nagati kutopi, dhyayanstuvam tasya yasya strisandhyam, vande guru shri charanara vrindam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without his grace, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, one should always remember and praise the spiritual master. Very, very important sloka. So, what is the third offense? in the 10 offenses to disobey the orders of spiritual master. So one should be very, very careful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is warning us. Says, Yasya Prashada. If Guru's blessings is there, even the difficult thing in our life will become easy. But Yasya Aprasada. If you don't please the Guru, then na gati kutopi. What will happen to you? I no idea. Dhyayans tu vamtasya yasya strisandam. Such a spiritual master, Guru, not one time, not two times, three times in a day, three sandhyam, you should remember him and pay obeisances. You know, that is what he says in this sloka. So it's very important that, you know, we should not do anything that displeases Srila Prabhupada, displeases Guru Maharaj. You should be very, very careful. Since I'm giving this class for the Bangalore devotees, I think there is a saying in Kannada by Madhvacharya. It says, Hari Munigare Hara Kayava, Hara Munigare Hari Kayava, Hari Hara Munigare Guru Kayava, Guru Munigare Kayava Yaru. Sorry if my pronunciation is wrong, but the sloka means that if Lord Vishnu is unhappy with you, then Shivaji will help you. If Shiva is unhappy with you, then Vishnu will help. If Vishnu and Shiva both are unhappy with you, then Guru will help. But if Guru is unhappy with you, then nobody can help you. Then nobody can help you. So we have to be so, so, so very careful that we don't do anything that displeases our displeases our guru. So with this, I would like to end it here with one last thing. Is, you know, the culminating sloka says that we should not displease our guru. We should try to please, and we all know the only thing that pleases our Guru Maharaj is preaching. He just wants everybody should preach Krishna consciousness. So one way that we can please him is by trying our best to follow his instructions in our life, and also distribute his mercy, Krishna's mercy, to everybody, connect everybody to Krishna consciousness. You see this, I will tell you one small analogy and I'll end it here. You know, there was this one boy from South India who got a seat in MIT. So he went to Boston, he went to the US, and he was studying there. Now, when he went there initially, he wrote a letter to his father. He said, Father, the money that you are sending to me, it's not enough. You know, I have the canteen bills, I have accommodation, and then to and fro transport, and there are lots of expenses. I need a little more money. Can you send me a little more money? So the father sent a little more money and a little more money. The second letter the son wrote to his father was that, don't need to send money anymore because I got a part-time job, so I'm able to manage. You know, I don't need any extra money. Whatever you were sending me before is enough. I'll manage it. The third letter he wrote to his father, he said that, my dear father, I'm making good money, so not only you giving me, actually I want to send you money now because I got myself a job and I'm doing really well, so I will send you money. So he started sending money to his father. And then the fourth letter he wrote to his father, he said, all my friends are asking me, you know, who is your father? How does he look? So why not you come and visit me here? You know, you have done so much for me. Please come and visit me. So the father goes and visits him and then goes back. And then the fifth letter he writes to his father and he says, well, I have earned enough money in the US and I'm well settled now. I think it's time for me to come back home. So I'm coming back. Now, these are the five letters that the son wrote to his father. And I think this is how our Krishna consciousness is, you know, and it has to progress in this way. The first letter that we also write to Guru Maharaj is, Guru Maharaj, I want more of your association. Guru Maharaj, more of your blessings. Guru Maharaj, you know, we want. We want he should look at us. We want he should give his Mahaprasadi garland to us. We want he should give prasadam with his own hand. We want all his blessings. We want he should reply to our letters. We always want from him. That is the first letter. We have to check in these five letters, where are we standing? The second letter is where we understand No, Guru Maharaj has so many other new disciples that he has to give time to. He brought me into Krishna consciousness, and now it's time that I do my sadhana sincerely. I read Srila Prabhupada books and I try to become more sincere and apply whatever I've learned from him. Then a third stage comes in our life where we are not only that I am very happy in my Krishna consciousness, my Guru Maharaj gave me blessings, so kindly gave me initiation. What am I doing for him? So there is the third letter where we start doing something for him. There is a place where we say, Guru Maharaj, not you giving us, I want to give you something. What way can I serve you? Then we start, you know, connecting people to Guru Maharaj, getting more new people connected to Krishna consciousness and making him happy. And then comes the fourth letter in our life, where we make an establishment for Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, here, please come and visit us. We have a center for you ready. We have a temple. We are making this. We are making this. So many bhakti vrikshas, so many shraddha kutirs, so many temples, so beautiful establishment of ISKCON. Please come. Everybody is asking us. When we are preaching Krishna consciousness, everybody is asking, who is your guru? Who is your going? You're talking so nicely about Krishna consciousness. Who is your spiritual father? Everybody is asking. They want to see you. Please come. And then a stage comes in our life where we write the fifth letter. It's enough of this material world, Guru Maharaj. And we did whatever we could to serve you. And now we are ready to give up all these attachments and follow you back home, back to Godhead. We are ready. And that is also an important stage. Sometimes we may just get attached and stick here. We are very, very comfortable in our comfortable zone and we may want to stick here forever. That is a time we understand, no, you know, enough is enough. And we are mentally prepared to go back home with you under your guidance, and just like we are serving you here, Guru Maharaj, there also we want to be your assistants. And that is how the hierarchy goes. Even there in Goloka Vrindavan, we don't get to serve Radha and Krishna directly. We serve through our Guru. So these are the five letters in every disciple's life, and we should see where we stand. We should not keep hanging on the first letter. I want from you, Guru Maharaj. I want. Give me darshan, give me flower, give me this, give me importance. We have to start doing something for him. So with this, I'll end today's class here. Thank you so much, devotees, for bearing with me and my long talks. And please bless me, all of you, that I can sincerely serve the lotus feet of our beloved Guru Maharaj as my life and soul. And just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, you know, in his Sharanagati Bhajan, says, Tumi to Thakur, Tumar Kukur, Uliya Jana Homure. I just request the devotees to please bless me that I also stay in that mood always, and I be known as a loyal dog of His Holiness Jayaprada Goswami Guru Maharaj. And just like a dog obeys the instruction of his master very sincerely, even I should loyally obey and follow all the instructions of our dear Guru Maharaj. And please keep me in all of your prayers. Thank you so much. His Holiness Jayaprada Goswami Guru Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Yeah, any one question. Anyone? All right. So as I understand, so your question is that, should we desire to go back to Godhead because Guru Maharaj wants us to go back to Godhead, or should we desire to stay back here and serve Guru Maharaj? I think that's what your question is all about. The whole point is we should try to understand Guru Maharaj's mood. See, we are very fortunate that this life we got an opportunity to connect to Srila Prabhupada, to our dear Guru Maharaj, to ISKCON, to Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. But what is the guarantee that next time when we take birth, we will again get this opportunity to connect to the same parampara, authentic parampara, connect to ISKCON? There is no guarantee stamp somewhere that you will get that opportunity. So the whole point Guru Maharaj is trying to make is that don't desire to stay in this material world. Better to go back home, back to Godhead, to Krishna. That's the whole mood behind it. Because see, if you are inside a black tunnel or a coal mine, even if you are in a white clothes, there are every chance that something will fall on us. When we are in this material world, definitely there are all chances. Our life in the material world is like walking on a dagger, you know, on a sword, a sharp sword, and there are every chance we may get hurt. It's so risky. So definitely Guru Maharaj doesn't want us to take that risk, and he wants us to seriously try and go back to Godhead. So definitely we should desire that, we want to go back to Krishna, because just like it is said that when we desire for moon, then we may get star. So at least if we sincerely work in desire that I want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, maybe if not, at least we'll get then a chance to get inside the miniature Goloka Vrindavan that Srila Prabhupada has created in this material world. But even if we don't even make that desire, then don't know where we will land up to. So yes, we should make a desire that we want to go back, because there is no separation from Guru Maharaj for us there also, because he is going to be there also with us. So it's not that we are going to be separated from his service. It's not that we can serve him only in this world. We can serve him there also. There also Srila Prabhupada will be there. I don't know, where was I hearing this? So somebody was very attached to Prabhupada, and he was asking that, will I see Prabhupada up there? And then one of the Maharaj replied that, don't worry, the kind of attachment that you have for Prabhupada, you don't have to search for Prabhupada in Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada will search for you and come where you are. Don't worry, because you're so attached to Prabhupada. So similarly, when we are very attached to Guru Maharaj, we shouldn't worry. Even there, if we can't find Guru Maharaj in so much rush, he will come and find us. Oh, here you are. Okay, come, I'll give you some seva to do. And So definitely we can desire to go back, Only thing we can desire to Krishna is that, please don't separate us from your, from our Guru Maharaj, from our beloved Guru Maharaj. So wherever we are, we can serve him. Yeah. I hope that helps you, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama ananta koti vaishnavinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai Hare Krishna
Sab Krishna 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 lage Sab Krishna